Sexagesima Sunday. The epistle is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourself, for you suffer if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly. I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes, less one. Thrice I was scourged, once I was stoned, thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardship, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up, there was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that he might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathered together and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now, those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon the good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's epistle, St. Paul is addressing to the Corinthians because there is division within the church there. There are a number of false teachers there, separate, dividing the faithful. They are coming with false teachings. They are claiming to be Hebrew. They're claiming to be Jews. And they're saying that I'm come from the Holy Land into Greece, into Corinth here in order to teach you. But they are teaching something separate from what St. Paul is teaching. And so this is why in the beginning he says about, are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israel? So am I. Are they the offspring of Abraham? So am I. He was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, St. Paul was. And then he says, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I am more so. And then he goes and he talks about all the trials and tribulations he underwent or is undergoing for the gospel. He talks about these natural difficulties, shipwrecks, and other things like that. But then he also talks about the enemies of Christ who persecute him. He was stoned. When he had his conversion in Damascus, the Jews were then trying to get at him, and that's when he was lowered down in the basket to escape them. He was given lashings and all these other types of difficulties. But then he also had self-imposed things. Penances, he talks about fasting. He says many fastings. But then also penances that came upon him because of his love for the church. He went around preaching. He was cold. He says he suffered nakedness. This means not that he didn't have any clothes, but he didn't have sufficient clothes. He was cold because of his travels. All these difficulties, hardships, and privations arise. Why? Because he is a follower of Christ. And so he's talking about this to the Corinthians to try to tell them that these other men are false teachers. I am also a Jew. I'm a follower of Christ. And these are all the difficulties that have arisen. And what St. Paul was trying to solve then, we also experience today. For there are false teachers today who want to say things about the church. They teach things such as, during Lent, we don't have to really do penances. And it's not really a time for penance. The church has changed all that. That today, maybe 50 or 70 years ago, you had to do that. But now, we know better, we understand better, the Holy Spirit is in some way more active. And so, we don't have to do penances. And this is false. The church has changed the required penances that we have to do. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to do penance. The spiritual law cannot change. It will not change. We will either do our penance in this life, and if we're found worthy, that is in sanctifying grace, we'll do our penance in the next life. That is in purgatory. The church has not done away with purgatory. The Holy Spirit has not done away with purgatory. It is still there. But there are people who teach this false doctrine. And so we have to remember this, that although the rules have changed, that doesn't mean that the fundamental spiritual truth has changed. So why has the church changed these rules? Why aren't we required to do all the penances and fast during Lent? The only thing we have to do, it's in the handout, in the back of the church. The only thing we're required to do now is do fast and abstinence on Ash Wednesday, fast and abstinence on Good Friday, and abstain from meat on all the Fridays of Lent. And then the handout explains what exactly a fast is and what exactly is abstinence. That's all we're required to do, the bare minimum. If we were to get a grade on this, this would be a barely passing grade, you know, like a D. Didn't fail, but we're not doing that great. The traditional laws were a lot more strict, and even the traditional laws from the 1950s were relaxed from the older laws in the 1800s. They're in the handout. If you want to follow them, it's a good thing. So why did the church change these things if the fundamental spiritual law didn't change? Because the church wants us to do our penances based upon love and not fear. In the old days, we were bound under mortal sin to do these penances. And many times, people did the penance. Why? Because if you don't do it, you're going to commit a mortal sin. And they just do it to do it perfunctory. They just do it, just get it done, and that's it. There's no real interior conversion or motivation based upon that. It's out of fear of punishment. And that is the less perfect motivation. We should be motivated by love. And so because of this, the church has decided to eliminate many of the required penances. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to do penance. We're supposed to do penance, but our penance should be based upon love. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the penance we do during this season, as opposed to the season of Advent. In Advent, we're supposed to look and see the things in our life that are in the way of Christ. We're supposed to look during this season at the times at which we specifically chose against Christ, in which we said no to Him. This is our sins, our mortal sins, our venial sins, but also those graces that God gave us or wanted to give us that we said no to. You know, sometimes when you read the lives of the saints, they'll talk about how they'll say, oh, I'm the greatest sinner. If anyone had received the graces that I was offered, they would be so much greater than me. And when we read that, we kind of don't comprehend it. We think they're being overly pious and exaggerating. No. The saints can see the graces that God is trying to give them, but because of their imperfect heart, they're saying no to them. And they see that. Oftentimes we don't see that. Sometimes we'll get it, we'll understand that, or we'll see that. But this is also something that we have to make up for. This is one of the reasons why we do penance. To make up for those times which we say no to the grace God tried to give us. And it might not be sinful, but then also the other times at which we say no, our mortal sins and our venial sins. And the foundation for this desire to make up what we have lost should be based on love. Our love for Christ, the fact that we betrayed Him and we cast His gifts down into the soil and ignored them and didn't want them, should be based on love and not fear. And this is the reason why the church has made this prudential decision to lower the requirements for Lent. But we shouldn't just do the bare minimum. So, what is penance then? That we should be thinking about what we want to do. Ash Wednesday is in 10 days. And as we say every year we have a homily on this. There are only three ways in which we can do penance. Every penance is reduced to one of three categories. And that is, they're either prayer, denying ourselves a legitimate good, or almsgiving. So we can do prayer. We can do extra prayers in order to do a penance. So maybe we're already doing the rosary. We can add something else. Do the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Or to read the Bible prayerfully, a half hour. We can make an effort to go to daily Mass. Maybe set it out maybe two times a week. We can go before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. These are all legitimate penances, and they should be more than what we're already doing. Sometimes in families it's difficult, but just do it. If you're not doing the family rosary, you should do the family rosary. It is a very good thing. We deny ourselves a legitimate pleasure. Now, it's important to remember this. Sometimes people will say to me, they'll say, Father, you know, for my Lenten penance, I'm going to give up taking the Lord's name in vain. Well, that's not technically a penance because you're not supposed to be taking the Lord's name in vain to begin with. Yes, it's good if you have this habit to really try during Lent to break that habit. But penance is to give up something that you can legitimately enjoy. So this is why we do things like give up meat, or we give up in-between meal snacks, or we do fastings, and these type of things. We can enjoy these things, but we give them up. Why? We give them up out of love for our Lord. It's a little penance that we can do for Him. And then the third type of penance is almsgiving. Now, sometimes we use almsgiving as a synonym for just any kind of donation. But we have to remember that technically speaking, almsgiving is a gift above and beyond our normal giving. So for the Hebrews, in the Old Testament, you had the tithe, which one was supposed to do. But then almsgiving was above and beyond that. When someone on the street asked for an alms, the Hebrews didn't calculate and say, well, that's still part of my 10%. No, it was something above and beyond. And that's why this is a penance, because you don't have to do it. But we should be moved out of love for this person. And so for us here in Lent, we can give alms. That is, we give a gift of either our time, and that is quality time, or money that we wouldn't normally give. It's not part of our regular monthly donation or monthly volunteer time. So we give this alms. Why? Out of love for Christ. It's important for us to choose these things, to not have them chosen for us. Our Lord says that we are to take up our cross and follow Him, that we are to take it up. We are to embrace it. And penance is the same way. We can do penance through our life, of course, as St. Paul does, these difficulties that arise in life. And our difficulties in our life, we should offer them in penance to our Lord. This is part of St. Therese of Lisieux's little way, to offer everything to Christ, the good and the bad. But then also, we should do additional penances. We should take them up and choose them, what we need to do. And it's important that we do them here during Lent, because this is the season that the Church, this is the season that the Holy Ghost inspired the Church to set aside in order for us to make up for our sins, our offenses, and our outrages against Christ. And so a penance done during Lent should have more effect, should have more spiritual benefit for us than a penance that we were to do outside of Lent. Why? Because this is the time for the grace of making up for our past failures. And so we have 10 days to really think about what we want to do. Really think about it. What are you going to do? The traditional fast for Lent is really not that difficult when we really read what the law of fast is. Sometimes when people think fast, they think of the black fast, that is bread and water and that's it. No, the fast is not unreasonable. And for generations, for centuries, people abstained from meat throughout all of Lent and they fasted. And they survived. It wasn't terrible, but it was a good penance to do. But there are many other penances that we can do. But the important thing is for us to choose them. We choose them, now, so that when Wednesday comes, when Ash Wednesday comes, we will then begin Lent off very good, off in the right foot. So, we have to remember this, that just as St. Paul fought against false teachers who taught false doctrine, so we have to recognize that there are false teachers today who want to take advantage of this change in discipline in the church and to say not that we are to embrace penance out of love. They say that, oh, we don't have to do penance now. That things have changed. That we know better. No, no. We have to do penance. If we do not do penance in this life, we will do it in the next. So let us then decide what we want to do now so that we can have a good and holy and grace-filled Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.